If you take your Bibles and turn to Jude, the little book of Jude right there before the book of Revelation. We've been taking a look at this book for several weeks now, and we have the subject here, which is the subject of the book there in verse number 3, to earnestly contend for the faith. And we've spent a great length of time in verse number 3. Tonight we move on to verse number 4. And the reason why we need to earnestly contend for the faith is because there are folks who are false teachers, apostate teachers, who unknowingly to us sometimes creep in and try to pull us away from the truth. And look at verse number 4. Little book of Jude, verse number 4, says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." I want this title of this message, "Watch Out for Creeps." You talk there in verse number 4, that for there are certain men crept in unawares. These folks are ones that creep into the church. Crept in unawares here means having settled in alongside. That is, they lodge stealthily right there amongst us. The idea is that they enter a church unnoticed. And that's my first point in this message, is apostate teachers often creep into the church unknowingly. We see our Lord talk about this in the parable of the tares. In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter number 13, we find Jesus speaking the parable of the tares and giving a meaning of the parable of the tares. Matthew 13, in verse number 24, it says here, "Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." And then we find the explanation of this parable down in verse number 36. It says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." It's the Savior. And listen, you know, we sow the good seed. The Savior in us wants us to sow the seed, and we carry out the Great Commission. It's Jesus in us that does that. We see there in verse 38, he says, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them to a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." We see this parable of the tares. It speaks of apostate teachers creeping in right alongside of believers. Hard to tell the difference between those that are the Cretes and those that are actually the church. We see that also there was a group who added certain law keeping to the gospel. We call them the Judaizers. Just recently we went through the book of Galatians, preached through the book of Galatians in our Sunday morning services, and we talked about the Judaizers. That's the name that we give to them, because they were Jews who wanted to add the keeping of the law to the gospel of Christ, and they wanted to put the Gentiles under the law. These apostate teachers were mentioned in the letters from the church at Jerusalem that were written for Paul and Barnabas and two others that were sent to the Gentile believers in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Listen to what they wrote in the letter that they sent. Acts 15:24. And by the way, the things that we're going to see here in these verses are going to relate to our second point, and that is apostate teachers lead others into error. We're going to see not only they creep into church unknowingly, but they lead others into error. We're going to see both of these things here. We see that these apostate teachers, what it says here in Acts 15:24, he says, "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls." And that is, they're trying to lead them into error, saying, "Ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Listen, that's not the gospel that was given to the apostles. It was not Jesus plus something. It wasn't Jesus minus something. It was Jesus in Christ alone, believing on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where salvation comes from. But there are folks that want to mix things with the gospel. Paul mentions these, as we said, in Galatians, whose error was the primary reason for the writing of the letter, these Judaizers. Galatians 2:4 says, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." False brethren unawares brought in. Paul warned the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4:14. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We see the apostate teachers leading others into the error, don't we? Look at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, and we see the Apostle Paul warning here the young preacher Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:5-9. He's talking about the perilous times that would come. He's giving a description of those times and the people that would be in those times. And some of the people that he mentions here would be those who are apostate. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. A form, not real godliness, but a form of godliness. In other words, they're religious, but they're lost. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses, there he creeps again, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Listen, there are false teachers, apostate teachers, that have creeped in from time to time in local churches, and they cause others to be carried into error, such as the error that they themselves are entangled in. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter 2, the Apostle Peter writes here in 2 Peter 2 in verse number 1 through 3. He says, verse 1 there, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies," that's error, "even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways." See, the apostate teachers lead others into error. "By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." We see there when he talks about them coming in privily, they lead in aside, to introduce secretly. They do these things in secret. And they're going to bring damnable heresies. A heresy is a disunity. It is wrong doctrine. We see, he talks about their pernicious ways there in verse 2. It means their ways are full of ruin and lost. It's the same as the word damnable in verse number 1. And so we see here, apostate teachers often creep into the church unknowingly. And apostate teachers lead others into error. A third thing I want you to see is that apostate teachers are destined for destructions. We just read there in 2 Peter 2, 1, it says, "and bring them upon themselves swift destruction." In 2 Peter 2, 3 there, we read, "whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Back in our text in Jude 4, "so for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Condemnation is going to be brought upon them. And that condemnation is that's spoken of in Revelation 21, verse number 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving." Now see, apostate teachers are unbelieving. They've not believed on the gospel of Christ. They have their own version of the gospel. That's not believing the gospel. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." And listen, apostates are liars. "They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Understand that an apostate has received the light of the gospel, but has not received life in the gospel because of unbelief. Understand also that the apostate teacher may have received in some degree the written word. In fact, he twists the word of God to make it say something that it does not say. He mixes error with the truth. That's why we have to be on guard. We must know the truth. The apostate has not received the living word, Jesus Christ, as He's revealed in the Scriptures. Oh, he'll talk about Jesus, but the Jesus he talks about is not the same Jesus that you and I have believed on. Understand that these apostate teachers are destined to judgment. They reject Jesus Christ, therefore judgment is waiting for them. God has ordained from the beginning of time that all unbelievers shall be judged. And both Jesus Christ and Scripture teach that the judgment of false teachers is going to be far more severe than for other persons. Do you say, "Brother Jerry, do you believe in degrees of punishment?" I most certainly do. I believe that the Bible speaks that to be the case. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but if you study out the matter of judgment, you'll find that to be the case. Fourth thing I want us to see here is apostate teachers are ungodly. Back to our text there in verse number 4, it calls them ungodly men. They're ungodly. That is, they have no reverence for God. They're just like Pharaoh of old who told Moses in Exodus 5:2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." See, these apostate teachers are, they're not like God at all. They do not live like God. They are different from God. They have a different lifestyle than what God would have if He was walking upon the earth. And by the way, we know what lifestyle that would be because Jesus, who is God, walked upon the earth. And His lifestyle is different than that of the apostates. He spoke truth. These fellows speak error. They are ungodly. We see and we know that God is perfect. He's moral. He's pure. He's just. And He's loving. But the apostate teachers are none of this. None of it. They're deceptive. They lead people away from the love and purity of God. The love and purity revealed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not teach the truth of God's love and purity demonstrated in Christ. They profane God and the truth of His love and godliness. Apostate teachers are ungodly. Oh, they may speak, may use God's name, and may use Christ's name, and they may use the Bible. But don't be deceived. They are, as you examine their lives, they are ungodly. Fifth thing we see here is that apostate teachers twist God's grace into a license to sin. Back in verse number 4, right after there where He calls them ungodly men, He says, "Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." Now the word lasciviousness means being lustful, loose, or lewd. Promoting lustful desires in others. And see, lasciviousness means morally unrestrained, as they disregard accepted rules and standards. Sin enslaves. So in reality, the liberty of these apostate teachers that they want to talk about, the liberty they want to talk about actually turns back to enslavement and sin again. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" God doesn't want us to turn back to our sin. We don't have a license to sin just because we're saved. Galatians 5:13, Paul said, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." God has called us to liberty. We are free to live a life pleasing to the Lord. But we're not free to go back and have an occasion to our flesh and live in the flesh and after the flesh. Because we know, according to Galatians chapter number 5, what the works of the flesh bring forth. There's a long list of terrible things of the works of the flesh are, and they are in polar opposites to the Spirit of God that is within us that produces His fruit within our lives. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness," there it is, we're to deny ungodliness, "denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Listen, the Lord wants us who are His. Those of us that have believed on Him, those of us that have believed the gospel, He wants us to live a godly life. We're to deny godliness. We're to deny the worldly lusts. And we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Because apart from doing that, there's no way in the world that we can fulfill the Lord's will in our life. And that is to shine the light of the gospel to others who need it. To carry out the Great Commission. Sixth thing that we see there is apostate teachers deny the Lord. They deny the Lord. And the very last part there, verse number 4, says, "And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So, apostate teachers deny the Lord God. Deny means to contradict, that is to disavow, reject, to deny, and refuse. Listen, they willfully deny the Lord God Jehovah as the only God. They willfully deny His right to lordship in their lives. You know, the Lord has a right to call the shots in our life. Luke 6:46, where He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Titus 1, verse 15 to 16 tells us this, says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." You know, people say, "Don't judge me." The Bible tells us that we can look on what is produced in a life and we can tell whether a profession is true or not. And you may profess that you know God, but if you deny Him in your works, if you're disobedient to Him all the time, and we all disobey Him at times, but we're talking about living in disobedience and never doing anything for the Lord. Listen, the things in your life contradict what you say with your lips. We saw there in 2 Peter 2:1 a while ago, talked about even they were those false teachers were even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They deny the Lord that bought them. So apostate teachers deny the Lord God, and apostate teachers, last of all, deny the Lord Jesus Christ. There, that's the very last thing there in verse 4, Jude 4. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean to deny the Lord Jesus Christ? It means that they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. They don't abide in the doctrine of Christ. 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." 2 John 1, verse number 9, says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Of course, we know, as we studied a few weeks back, the fundamentals of the faith, we know the doctrine of Christ includes the deity of Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And if anyone comes to you and tries to undo in your mind that Jesus is God in the flesh, friend, they're apostate. Because the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ is very God. Of course, the doctrine of Christ also includes His eternal existence. He was there with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in the beginning and in the time before time, which really wasn't time at all. That was eternity. Eternity past, there was no time. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ existed with as one. There's not three gods, there's three in one. God existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past. Of course, the doctrine of Christ also includes His virgin birth. Of necessity, He was born of a virgin. So that He didn't have the Adamic nature. He had the divine nature, and the divine nature only. That's the only way He could provide the sacrifice that we needed. We know the doctrine of Christ includes His deity, not only His virgin birth, but His pure life. His pure life. He lived a sinless, perfect life so that He could suffer on our behalf. And that's part of the doctrine of Christ. He's our substitute. He died for us. He died for our sin. His blood atonement was for our sins. The shedding of blood was necessary for the remission of our sins. And He shed His own blood for us. We know His bodily resurrection is also part of the doctrine of Christ. Jesus literally came out of the grave. It wasn't just a spirit. He was in a body. And the Bible is clear that the apostles that saw Him walk there in those 40 days when He showed Himself alive after His passion, as Luke puts it in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. He was in a body that they could touch, that they could see, that they could feel, that could eat. It was a bodily resurrection. And we know that the doctrine of Christ also includes His visible and imminent return. Jesus Christ is coming. When? I don't know. It could happen at any moment. It happened before I finish this message. But listen, my friend, the important question is, are you ready should He return today? It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year. It might be for a number of years before He returns. In my heart, I'm praying even so come, Lord Jesus, in light of all that we're seeing in the times in which we live. And I do believe in my heart that His coming is soon. But His coming is imminent. Nothing has to happen for Him to return. And we're looking for Him. But anyone that denies the doctrine of Christ, they're part of these that we said watch out for. Watch out for creeps. Beware of the creeps. Someone teaching doctrine contrary to God's truth. Listen, they're going to be judged. And we must be careful that we are not led astray with their false doctrine. Again, back to the central theme of this book. We're to earnestly contend for the faith. Make sure that the faith is not diluted. Make sure that the faith is not strayed from. Make sure that the faith indeed remains the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. There, as verse 3 says. I trust that you'll be aware and you'll be on guard. Beware of those that try to creep in and pull us away from the truths that we have been taught and the truths that we know from Scripture are the actual truth of what we ought to believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for Jesus being our truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, if there's one that does not know Christ, help them to come to know Him. Lord, also, I pray that You would guard us. Help us to guard against these that would creep in unaware. Lord, that would desire to take and pull us away from the truth of Your Word and the truth of the Gospel. Help us to cling, to stick like glue to the truth that we have been given, the truth that we have been taught, the truth that comes from Your Word. So that we are not led astray. That we don't come to a place in our lives where we're living that is displeasing to You. Lord, help us to watch out for creeps and to cling to the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.